I don't know if Jeremy mentioned it to you earlier or not, but I asked him to continue saying God of this city through these next few weeks together, because it's such a great song, such a great reminder of what we really want to be about. It's such a great song of hope. We know we've come a long way, but we're not near where we need to be yet. But we trust in the one who can get us where we need to be. We trust in the one who can bring full restoration and blessing. And so for the next few weeks together, we're going to look at what we've entitled Reputation Renovation. And we'll sing God of this City each week for the next 5 or 6 weeks together. Renovation reputation is something that actually I've been thinking about for a long time. After the article came out in the West News last week, there were a few folks who said, "Well, what happened? What happened?" Well, you know, there was a trigger event, but that's not the point. I've been thinking for many months about this concern. We've been at each other a long time in our community. And it's almost gotten to the point where it's accepted, almost respected, to be ugly to each other. And it's bad enough that that hurts us when we do it to each other. But the worst thing, the long-term problem, is that folks in Central Texas see us that way. That's how they think about West, people who act ugly with each other. And when that reputation is out there, who's going to bring their family to our town? What's that going to do to our tax base over time? What businesses want to come here if they know they're going to be in the midst of problems and chaos all the time? How's that going to affect our economic development when businesses aren't really excited about coming? What's that going to do to volunteerism here in our community? If I agree to serve on this board or that board, or if I agree to volunteer for this effort or that effort, and I know folks are going to attack me and throw me on the evening news, why would I want to do that? So, we need to bring all of that to our attention. We need to be aware of all of those concerns. And I've been thinking about it for some time, and it is just now kind of coming together in what's going to be a 6-week campaign, if you will. There will be an article in the West News each week for those 6 weeks. You and I are going to look at it in a different perspective on Sunday mornings for those 6 weeks. And along the way, we're going to do some other things as well. But you'll have to watch and pay attention to hear about all those as we go. Reputation renovation. Helping the rest of Central Texas, and for that matter, the whole state, understand what a great place we really are. It's going to take 5 things. It's going to take communication. I know, don't tell me turn it on. I got it. It's going to take communication, reconciliation, restoration, participation, and celebration. I'm convinced if we agree to work together on these 5 elements, that we are going to be a healthier, stronger community. And when we are a healthier, stronger community, I think that other folks in our state are going to have a better understanding of who we really are. So that's where we're headed. But I also believe that those 5 elements are of such great importance that the best place for us to start working on those 5 elements is in the local churches. And so I'm going to challenge you. You're going to get the challenge first. And then you're going to see the challenge in the West News on Thursday. And we'll do some little projects along the way. But each week you're going to be the first ones to hear the challenge for the week. And this week we're going to talk about communication. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, I want to encourage you to look with me in the book of James, chapter 3. We're going to be in James chapter 3 at verse 3. Now, while you're turning to that, let me tell you that this morning, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on the message because the Lord's Supper is the message, and we want to get straight to the table as quickly as we can. And so we'll not take a, this won't be a full-length message this morning because we want to get to the table. A few weeks ago, quite a few weeks ago, we recognized that the fifth Sunday would be, it just happened to fall on West Fest week. And so we had a few discussions in the appropriate groups, and we said, you know, it's going to be West Fest weekend, and the number will be down that Sunday. We know folks will be busy and tied up, and Labor Day they'll be out and doing, and with a smaller crowd, do we do the Lord's Supper? And almost without hesitation, in each of those meetings, we just quickly said yes, because we want to say that the table is more important than our calendar. We want to say that what happens there is more important than how busy we are. And so knowing that this is a busy weekend and we'd be down in numbers a little bit, we're eager to get to the table. And so we're going to do that in just a few minutes. But let's start as we think about communication together. James chapter 3 at verse 3. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Now, we're jumping just right in the middle of his whole conversation, and so that's a little bit awkward for us to start there, and we say, what in the world is he talking about? He's just using an illustration, a picture, if you will. A horse is big, I mean powerful, strong. If a horse can handle me getting on his back, you got to be a big, strong fella. But we can control that big, strong critter with one little piece of metal. You put that one little piece of metal in his mouth, and you can direct the whole critter. And this is where James is heading. There is one little thing in our mouths that can wind up directing our whole lives. Verse 4. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. You can direct that whole great big ship wherever you want it to go with just that little rudder. So also, verse 5, the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. You remember Smokey the Bear? Only you can prevent forest fires. How is that? Because he's saying, you be careful with that one little campfire. You be careful with that one little spark, that one match, that one cigarette that you throw out. You watch that stuff. Why? Because it just takes that one little cigarette and it can start a whole forest fire. One little fire, one little flame, one little spark can bring great destruction. So it is with our words. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles, creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. I always hesitate when I get to verse 7. He says every creature has been tamed, even the big creatures of the sea. And they didn't even have SeaWorld back then. So that amazes me. That James says even the whale, I mean everything has been tamed at some point by a man. And yet, verse 8, no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. He tells us that we have to be very careful with our tongue. The words we say can get us in so much trouble. And it can cause so much trouble for others. I've spent all week this week squelching a lie. I talked to you last week about how we were going to communicate with City Hall, with the City Council, about our permit issues. Someone was here last week and went to the City Council and told them that I said that we were going to make sure they all voted out of office and we replaced them. And I have spent good time that could have been spent on real ministry. I've had to spend this week talking to the appropriate people and demonstrating what I said. By the way, every message here is recorded. So just so you know, when you question what I've said, we can always go back and look at it. What I really said last week was that we were going to sit down with the City Council and we were going to show them respect and earn their respect, and we were going to work through the process and see what options we have. And by the way, that is exactly what's happening. I've already been on the phone with the mayor and we already have made progress. We have another meeting scheduled for Tuesday with the appropriate leaders and we're going to work it out. But the tongue set on fire all week an issue that should not have had to, that we should not have had to deal with. The tongue can so quickly take something very good and turn it into something very dangerous. Beloved, be careful. Think. Speak carefully. James tells us this warning, and he tells us how important it is to be careful. He also tells us how to do that. He says, brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. Everyone, he says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Well, that's another one of those verses that I always pause for a second. How do you be quick to listen? I mean, you're either listening or you're not. How do you listen faster? What I figured out is that he's not speaking about the speed with which we listen as much as he is speaking about the eagerness of our listening. You've seen it on the workplace. You know the guy who really is just after a paycheck. He's going to do the littlest that he has to do. He's going to show up at the last possible moment and leave at the first possible moment. And all he's there for is a paycheck. And he's going to spend all day just kind of doing his thing so he don't get fired. But you've also seen folks who have the same title or the same position. And they show up ready to work. And they're moving from one project to the next. And they're going all day long, and they clock out about the same time maybe, but they have been working, they've been eager all day. That's what he's saying. He's saying, just like if you're eager about your work, you work quickly, listen eagerly. Put some attention into it. Care about what others are saying. One of the reasons that we have been challenged in this last year and a half or so, is because most of us have been much more willing to speak than we have been willing to listen. Listen quickly, eagerly, attentively, and then be slow to speak. Stop. Breathe. Think. Then speak. Why? Why do we need to do all that? Because, James 18 says, the tongue, that's not James, by the way, that's Proverbs. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. With a word, we can restore, rebuild. With a word, we can change a life for the better. With a word, we can destroy. We can end relationships. It is with words that we formally begin a marriage, a wedding. It is with words that we formally can bring that relationship to an end. It is with words that the entire creation, everything that exists, was spoken into existence. God chose words to bring life. Our words can build up and tear down. It is the power of life and death. So be careful. Ephesians tells us, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Unwholesome. What is that? Exaggeration? Lie? Slander? Criticism? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. One of the things that we need to be praying for in our church and in our community is that there would be a greater respect for truth and a lesser love of drama. You see, what's happening in a lot of our lives is we love drama more than we respect the truth. And when you love drama more than you respect the truth, you're willing to lie or exaggerate or say whatever you have to say to get attention and stir stuff up. Folks, Scripture's clear. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So here's your challenge. Starting today, going through the rest of this week, I challenge you to hear what you're saying and to make sure that what you're saying is somehow beneficial to others. That's what Scripture tells us to do all the time. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. That's your challenge this week. Pay attention to what we say and make sure that it's actually beneficial to someone. Psalm 141:3 is the prayer that we want to pray. And I encourage you to pray this prayer. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. God, I need your help. The tongue is poison, and I can't tame it. I need you to put a gate in front of my mouth. And you decide when you unlock it, and don't tell me the combination. Here's your prayer. Set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Continuing in Psalm 19, the prayer says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. It's time that we move to the table. But as we do, I want to leave this verse right where it is. And I want us to take a few seconds of silence. In 1 Corinthians 11, it tells us to examine ourselves before we come to the table. And this week, I want to encourage you to examine yourself quietly, privately, the next few seconds of silence. Examine yourself with this verse in mind. As we move to the table, take a moment. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, what I say and what I think and feel, let all of that be acceptable to you. Let's take a moment, and as you think on that verse, perhaps there is some sin that you need to confess privately and quietly. Perhaps there's some change that you need to make in the way you think or the way you speak. Take time. Take care of that now, and we'll meet you at the table in a moment.